As God, why do you permit such terrible things to happen? Now, this morning when I preached this sermon, my sister came up and she wanted to hit me on my head, but I'm going to say it again. She said if she gave people specific directions to tell on me if I did this again, so y'all can go ahead and tell. But I have an identical twin sister, and she is 34 years old. She's about to be 34 years old. In July, we will both turn 34 years old, and we will celebrate together our birthday. But as I've been thinking about my life over the past months, I've realized that I have lived most of my life with rose-colored glasses on. And I don't know if you all have heard of that term, rose-colored glasses, but I have lived most of my life looking and seeing only the good things in this world. Now, some of you may know what I'm talking about. You probably got a friend, and she is probably a she, and she is dating somebody, and that somebody is no good for her, but she sees that he spends so much time on her. She is so committed to her. Everywhere she goes, he shows up. He just loves her to death. And the rest of us see that he's stalking her, and he's probably a little bit psycho, amen? So I'm just like that friend. I've been looking at this world with my rose-colored glasses. I mean, every day I get up and I see the beautiful sun. I enjoy the grass. I even enjoy the snow. And I say, oh, God, this world is so great and so wonderful. However, my rose-colored glasses fell off, like all of our glasses fall off. This past week, when I turned on that television and I saw it, 32 people shot and killed. 32 people dead. The worst massacre in U.S. history. That news hit me so hard. Just a flood of emotions came over me. And when that flood of emotions came, I realized that for most of my life, I've heard about tragedies, but they haven't really impacted me. But this time, when I heard about those 32 people, 32 students, teachers, that was somebody's husband, somebody's wife, somebody's daughter, somebody's son. Those 32 people that lost their lives this past week, all the tragedies of America suddenly came back to me. All the tragedies of our world. I began to think about all those thousands of people that lost their lives in 9/11. I began to remember all that water rising. 2 years ago, people, 2 years ago, water flooded. And we had Hurricane Katrina. And on the television, those people were floating there just dead. Just gone. I thought about all the death, all the loss, all the suffering. And I became overwhelmed with grief and misery. And I thought, this world is going down. And it's going downhill very, very, very fast. Every single day, we hear about the loss of men, women, children. Every single day. Every single day right now, someone is dying in Iraq. Right now, someone is dying in the war in Sudan. Someone is dying in Afghanistan. Every single day. Do you feel me out there? Have you ever thought about it? The fact that people are dying right now, right now. As we are in this place, someone is dying. Today, when we leave, most of us will probably forget this sermon. It's going to be long gone. And you're going to be eating dinner, going shopping with your friends, enjoying that good movie, but someone is dying. her shoes? Meaningless. When I think about all the violence, all the suffering, all the tragedy in this world, I sometimes feel that I am going out of my mind. I am going out of my mind. We are in some dark places in America. Some dark places. Can anyone feel my pain today? Have you ever felt like you were going out of your mind? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever looked at all the suffering and you thought, why, Lord, why should I even bother getting up today? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't have to ask anyone in this room if you have felt the sting of death, because I already know you have. Does it matter? I know today, you know, many of us don't think about suicide. We don't want to talk about it. But there are some today that feel like it's all over. There are some in this room that have thought about taking your life. Because you felt like, I don't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. My life is not worth living. I remember a friend of mine when I was in high school, she called me on the phone. It was about 3:00 in the morning. I couldn't figure out. I was like, you gonna get me in trouble, girl? I can't be on the phone. But when she called me at 3:00 in the morning, I answered that phone. She had taken half a bottle of pills. She was trying to take her life. And she didn't realize how much I loved her, how much I cared about her, how much her life meant to me. Who was I? Just a friend. But her life changed my life, and without her, I wouldn't be who I am. So I sent her all night and talked to her, all the sun rose and everything else, but I wouldn't let her get off that phone. I was like, keep talking, keep talking, keep talking. If you're feeling that way today, if you're feeling like your life is not worth living, I want you to know I love you today. I care about each and every one of you. I look at you by faith. I call out your names. We pray for you all the time. You matter here at Glenville. Your life is worth living. You might not feel that way, but if you leave, we will take note of it. We will hurt. We will cry because we need you. Your life matters to us. But sometimes the pain, the tragedy, the suffering is so deep that we feel like we don't need to be here. And it's at times like this when we are really, really low, when we're really, really down, when we're really depressed and alone and struggling, that we begin to question God. All of us do. We begin to say, God, precious Heavenly Father, why do you permit such terrible things to happen to your people? Is anyone with me today? Have you said that? Have you ever wondered in the midst of your suffering, your pain, and your tragedy, have you ever wondered, does God even exist? Are you up there, God? Can you hear me? Can you hear my pain? In the middle of all of our suffering, we might wonder, how can this all-knowing, all-powerful God, all-knowing, you know everything, how can you let all of these bad things happen? How can you allow people to just be snuffed out just like that? Just gone. Just gone. We might even wonder, Lord, I don't mind that you took them away, but why did you have to leave me here? Why did you have to leave me? I want to go where they went. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to sit here crying all the time. Take me out right now. Let me go where they are. We've all felt that way. And it's even hard when we're believers. And we've been working hard. We've been prodding away. We've been serving. We've been praying. We've been tithing. We're doing everything we're supposed to be doing. And then, bam, God lets it happen right to us. Why us? Why do we have to stay behind suffering? Why do you allow us, God, to cry buckets and buckets and buckets of tears and feel all this loneliness and depression? You know, it's hard for some of us. I remember listening to plenty of people speak about suffering and hurt. And because I wasn't hurting, it was hard for me to understand. Because I wasn't personally experiencing the pain, it was hard for me to understand. But not anymore, saints. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to be your mama or your daddy to understand somebody else's pain. Yes. When one person is crying, we all need to be crying. Yes. When one person is upset, lonely, we all need to feel that pain.
Yes.
Because it's because of that loneliness. They feel like no one understands me. No one is going through my pain. That's when they go and commit suicide. I'm feeling your pain today. I'm trying my best to feel the pain. We have all asked questions to God. God, don't you care about us? Don't you want me to be happy, God? That's my favorite one. Don't you want me to be happy? Why, God? Why? Is all these terrible things happening? And as we question God, many of us believe that God is not speaking to us. We had a full prayer, Holy Week prayer. And sometimes I remember hearing the conversation, I don't know if God is answering my prayers. We've been praying for a long time, but nothing ever changes. Is he hearing us? Can you hear me, God? Are you up there? Are you listening to anything I say? But saints, God is answering our prayers. God is answering our prayers through his holy word.
Yes.
Through other believers, through his church.
Amen.
A lot of times we might not understand God's answers, or we might not like God's answers, but God is answering us.
Yes, yes.
A part of the problem with God's answers, though, is that we don't often understand. You see, God is an eternal being. Eternal being, knows everything, sees everything. But we are limited creatures. Trying to understand eternity without our limited brains. But you see, God is so gracious, he's open to helping us understand him. We need to ask God to help us to see. To see. I want you to write down on your outlines in nice big capital letters, the capital S and the capital E. Now, for all you students, you know, don't do this at school because you're going to get it wrong. This is the word see. My word see. And I want you to write next to the letter S, I want you to write I-N for sin, S-I-N. And I want you to write next to the letter E, the rest of the word for eternal, E-T-E-R-N-A-L, eternal. You see, we are asking God to help us to see as God sees. And God sees humanity through sin and eternity. Sin and eternity. The difference between us and God is that God sees the big picture. We see the here and now, but God sees the eternal picture. Amen. Thank God. What's the one thing that's keeping us from eternity? Sin. Let's read in your sermon outlines, Genesis chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The key words in this passage, saints, begins with sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door, desiring to get in. But we must master it. And if the Bible says we must master it, that means Christ has equipped us with the ability to master it.
Yes, yes.
Sin is crouching at our door, saints. Most of us don't want to admit it out loud anyway. But every single one of us here today, every human in the world, some dark places. Let me tell you how. Have you ever been at the grocery store? And you've been in line or at the gas station? Or you've been driving down the street? This happens to my husband all the time. Somebody cut him off. And you go, help me, Jesus, I want to kill you. And I tell him, don't you put your finger up. Some dark places, saints. Every time somebody hurts you, haven't you had that time when you're hurting and all of a sudden the thoughts come in your mind and you're like, oh, I'm going to stomp your head off. And I'm going to fall on you and I'm going to bring you down. All right. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
Told us all about the
when Jesus died on the cross for us, he gave us all the disciples, all those apostles to tell us what's going to happen now. Then he gave us those books like Daniel and Revelation that's going to tell us what's happening now. The Bible tells us clearly you're going to suffer. You're going to have tragedies. There's going to be hurricanes. There's going to be all these terrible things. People are going to be killing each other. It's going to make no sense. That's what the Bible says. It's real clear. So God told us about our past. Then he told us about our present. Amen. Amen. So we need not be surprised that are happening right now. Yes. And Jesus says to rejoice. Rejoice in him with his sufferings.
Yes.
For you see, 32 people lost their lives this past week. Well, we're not counting the one who counted all the crimes, but yeah, 33. You're right, Benita. We should count to 33 because he needs forgiveness and he needs God's grace just like we all do.
Hallelujah.
So 33 people lost their lives, and that person, I didn't want to focus on him because I see all these copycat criminals, and I don't want to focus on the one who committed the crime. I want to focus on those who lost their lives. So we had 32 people that lost their lives this past week, and they had committed no crime. They hadn't done anything wrong. They woke up every morning just like you and I did and said, I'm going to work, I'm going to school, I got to eat today. They had a whole list of things they wanted to do. They did not deserve to die. But there was one person, if we think about it, a long, long time ago that lost his life. And for what? Jesus Christ had committed no crime. He had deserved not to die. He had done anything wrong. He was the one that was innocent. Jesus.
Yes.
The Christian life, saints, is about suffering. And we don't want to think about it. What does it mean to suffering? But it wasn't Christ's sermons that saved us. The Sermon on the Mount was a good sermon, but that's not what saved us.
Well,
it wasn't about spending time with the wise and all those things didn't save us. Those are things Jesus taught us to do, but that didn't save us. It wasn't until he got up on that cross.
Come on.
And they nailed those nails in his hand.
Yes.
And that bloodshed, that is what saved us, saints.
Yes.
That is what saved us.
Yes.
So let me say, the suffering is what we share in with Christ. Let's think about it, saints. When Christ was up on that cross, we all want our suffering to end. Please, Lord, please let my heart heal. Please, Lord, let me feel better. But when Christ was up on that cross, I'm sure he wanted to get down. I'm sure he did not want to stay up there. It was hot outside. The sun burning down on him. He didn't have no clothes on. All those nails in his hand. And he was just dragging. Any stories about what it's like to be nailed to the cross, you just start dragging and your skin starts to tear and rip apart. I'm sure he wanted that pain to be over. I'm sure he wanted to say, come on, Lord, get me down and please let this be over. He did pray that prayer, remember? Please, Lord, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. But not my will be done, but your will be done. So when we're suffering, we want to be off that cross just like Jesus. I want to get down, Lord. This hurts too much. But we got to say like Jesus, not your will, not my will, but your will be done, amen. We participate in the sufferings of Christ. Now, 32 people lost their lives, but 32 families also were impacted. Can you imagine what it was like when the police officers went around knocking on doors and coming to your house and saying, your son is gone, your mother is gone, your wife is gone, your daughter is gone. These people that you love and care are gone, and for what? Nothing? But those families weren't the first families that watched their loved ones go away. For you see, if we read the Bible, there was Mary. Mary was standing at that cross, and she was standing there watching as they took her precious baby.
Yes.
And you all as mothers, fathers, you know how we are about our kids. We don't look at them as the grown people they are today. We see the baby. We remember the baby, the precious little baby that we kiss their little feet and we change their pampers and we hold them and cuddle them. And they wonder, you wonder, young people, why we love you so much and why we don't want you to hurt. Because we held you when you were born. We looked you in the eye and said, I love you. That's how much your parents love you. Because they had you from day one. And they don't want nobody in this world to do anything. a month. Mom. I've been all over those people. Don't touch my baby. Leave my baby alone. They're not dragging me up too. But it wasn't just mothers and fathers that were impacted. It was friends. All these friends. They had to deal with the loss of their friends and loved ones. But you see, it wasn't just Mary at the cross either. All the disciples were there. Mary Magdalene, all these people that loved Jesus. All these people stood there suffering. Suffering for Christ. You see, we share in this suffering. We participate in the suffering, amen? We are asking God to help us to see the sin and the eternity. That's what we want. You see, to understand sin, to understand how we master sin, in order to control sin, we have to look at eternity. Because if we only see the here and now, we are in a lot of trouble. In order to master sin, in order to control all those temptations, when I'm in my car, you know, when I'm ready to whack one of my kids across the head, when I'm getting out of control, I got to stop and think, well, this might keep me out of heaven. I'm going to get with you later. You're not keeping me out of my eternity. But if I didn't have that understanding, I would be going off the hook sometimes. You see, we are asking God to help us to see with His eyes. And I saw this word when I saw this in the scripture, God is a good God. Look at Psalm 30 for me, guys. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now we need to realize that God is not just talking about tomorrow morning. He's not talking about April 23rd, 25th. He's not talking about May, June, July, or August. The Hebrew word for morning means a breaking forth of light. A breaking forth of light. And what did Jesus say? Some of you may know in John 8 verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light of the world. So a better way to look at Psalm 30 verse 5, and you might want to write this down, is weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes when there is a breaking forth of Jesus. When there's a breaking forth of the light of the world, when there's a breaking forth of Jesus. So no, our suffering isn't going to end today because Jesus is not here yet. Jesus is not here yet. We have to wait for that breaking forth of Jesus to happen so that suffering can end, amen? You see, when we focus upon Jesus, when we focus upon eternity, we can understand that last scripture on your outline, that God can turn our wailing into dancing. Get your dance on. We serve a good God. Yes. It's because of Jesus that in the midst of pain and suffering in our lives that we can say, oh, I have joy. Oh, I feel good, Lord. Oh, I know that I'm suffering and I'm hurting, but I serve a good God. I serve an amazing God, and your joy is going to come, Lord.
Yes.
Today we know there is joy. There is hope, saints. In our present, and the Bible tells us about what's going to happen in our future. You see, but the good news of Christ is not that He died on that cross. The good news is that He rose again from the dead, and this is the greatest part. He's coming back.
Yes.
He's coming back.
Yes.
That's the good news right there.
Yes.
He's coming back.
Yes.
So we know about our past, we know about our present, and we can focus on the future, because Jesus Christ is coming back. He said, I am going to prepare a place for you. Amen. And where I go, there you will also be. Praise God. So as today we are sitting here, many of us find hope because we know God. We understand God. We feel the joy that God gives us. But some of us are still heavy. And so those of us with the joy, we can't move on. Because we're going to share in the suffering with you. So some of us are feeling heavy today. Some of us feel like, I don't understand. Some of us feel like, you know, you said all those words, Pastor Kelly, but I still feel like I'm not worthy. I shouldn't be here. Some of us don't want to be here. And so my response to you today is, listen. Open your eyes. Open your mind. Open up to where God is leading us all. For you see, God is leading us to eternity.
Yes.
We just have to decide if we're going to follow. So before I close my message, message. Patricia Townsend is going to dance us a beautiful dance. And it's based on Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want money, fame, fortune. I shall not even want my suffering to go away. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That means to be still, to not go anywhere. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a place for me before in the presence of my enemies. Amen. That part of this, the best part of that is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're walking through the valley. It's a dark valley. So some of us need to listen for God, to hear what God is saying to us. And so as Patricia is dancing, I want us all to just reflect, listen for God's word, listen for what he's telling you in your life. Amen.
Before The enemy has come trying to chase me out of your presence. But your word tells me that you have enlarged my footsteps, that my feet may not slip. And because of that, I know that according to Psalm 23, I can speak back to the enemy and say, the Lord is my shepherd.